Welcome to the Compass Church Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
Maybe see it. Our host team is just going to hand out a little piece of paper that looks a bit like this, and it will become relevant as we get through our message this morning. So for the benefit of those that weren't here last week, just a quick recap and summary is that we just sort of like said from the get-go this year that as the pastor of this church, just being really clear, we are looking for people and we are blessed to have so many and we're so grateful and appreciative for that. We're looking for people that are willing to stay the course and to get on board and help us to continue to build what it is that God is calling us to build here in and through Compass Church, his church. And so we're just throwing that out there. Like, I mean, we talk about strike rates in the 2020 and people bat above 100%. All I'm asking for is just 100%. That's all, not much. And what do I mean by that? You know, like, it's difficult to build a house when the tradies turn up every second week or once a month. And, you know, if you want something done or built, you want people there. And just being straight out there, straight up with you, for us to be able to build something of significance together, but you personally, in terms of relationships and connection and being a part of what God is wanting to do, 100% strike rate is a great place to start. So in your priorities this year, there's so many things. Fight for our attention and fight for us to do this. And there's distractions and things that come into our lives that look appealing that we put in place of before God. And that can be, we use all kinds of reasons to not do that. And I understand things come up and we encourage people to have holidays, etc. All of that. But when at all possible, can I throw it out there for you to seriously consider making your commitment to Compass Church this year at 100% strike rate? And, you know, because I believe that there are three categories. There are those that are too busy in the life of our church that actually need to pull back and, you know, sort of like try to find a better balance between church and life stuff. We have those that are actually kind of got a good balance of between church involvement and, say, life stuff and commitments. And I get it. And there's different seasons of life. Then we have those that just need to get up off that thing and actually get involved and get committed and become part of something. And so we put that challenge out there to you. I'm not ashamed. You know, we kind of probably a little bit too nice around these issues. But the reality is that if we're in a community that's facing a crisis eternity, we can't be complacent about what God has called us to be and to do. And I make no apology for that, because what I'm saying is eternal destinies are at stake. And so if you take offense to that, more power to you. But I'm looking for, you know, we are looking for 100% strike rate. And I guess coming out of that, we're looking at some things that we should maybe consider at the start of the year. And I think sometimes getting back to basics is a great way to go. So looking at the great commandment, loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul and strength and our neighbor as ourself. And I mentioned the great commission, which is where I want to go this morning. But last week I took a look at Jesus' encounter with the rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19, verses 6 to 30. And Jesus meets this influential young guy. He says, "What must I do to be saved?" He asks the what question. And when was the last time we asked Jesus the what question? What must I do to be the person you created or designed and purposed me to be? And actually be open to hearing that. And there's three questions that I believe are good what questions that we should ask ourselves at the start of the year. What things have I been doing that I have been working and I need to keep doing? When Jesus said to this guy, "What must I do to be saved?" Jesus mentioned some of the commandments and the guy said, "I've been doing those." So there were things that he was doing that were good that he needed to keep doing. Or maybe there were some things in there. Secondly, what things can I do that I can tweak or modify slightly so they do work and they are actually productive in my life? So that was the second one. But then there was the third thing. What are the things that I need to just stop doing or let go of? And Jesus got to the heart of the matter, which is the human heart, and kind of this is where the guy actually kind of fell short and wasn't willing to actually forego those things that obviously had priority in his place, which Jesus was actually looking to have. And then Jesus has this discussion with his disciples, and they talk about, well, you know, Jesus says, you know, it's hard for a wealthy or rich person to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus, I think, is kind of challenging us because we're all wealthy in comparison to the world. And so there are many things that I said that are vying for and trying to steal our attention, our focus, trying to become a priority over and above and before him. And so it can be hard. It's not an excuse. We just need to be aware of it, that there's plenty of things that vie for that. And Jesus says, Well, you know, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, and as I'm sure all of us would just go, well, seriously, well, who can do that? That's impossible. And Jesus comes out with these great words, which is words I'm speaking out over our church, over your family, into your studies, into your work this year. With man, this is impossible, but, I love that, but, got your attention, but, with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. Especially in the natural, it looks impossible. For us to have a building, for us to move to a facility in this area, looks impossible. But with God, all things are possible. You look at yourself, whether it's your relationship with a husband, a spouse, partner, or your kids, you're looking at your kids, where they're at or where they're not at and stuff like that. You just go, I just don't know. It's not where work was going to be. I just thought my life would be at a different space right now. I didn't plan it to be like this if I had to map out my life. This is not where I would have put myself. And in the natural, I can't see or understand how it's going to change. That looks impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And that's how we wanted to finish last week. And so it's just that whole idea about what do we need to do in our lives to get back to the basics of having the great commandment truly operational and functional in our lives. Because if it's a commandment, it's not kind of an option. You know, as Australians, we're really good. Once a jolly swagman can't buy a billabong. You know, and he wanted to steal, he stole the jumbuck, stole the sheep. And then the troopers come along, so, you know, well, stuff the authorities, have alternative ways of getting out of this, which won't go there. But, there's this underlying culture within Australia. We have issues with authority figures. And yet Jesus is saying, this is what I'm commanding. This is the commandment. It's like, it's not whether you like it or feel like it or not. Just do as you're flipping told. It's like, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's a commandment. And then going into, because when we had our carol service, as I was reading the passage out of Luke, if you've got your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 2. I'm going to read it just for time's sake here. But something sparked in my spirit when I was reading this, which I kind of put on the back burner until I was putting this message together, because it dovetails really well. And I can see where it was supposed to go. But in Luke chapter 2, verse 15, it's the story of the arrival of Christ, which we've just remembered and celebrated. But, you know, that in itself is not, as Paul has been saying, even in the prayer meeting this morning, you know, that it's not the end. It's actually the start. The arrival of Christ is the start of something. It's not like we just celebrate Christmas and go, oh, God, thank God that's over. Got that out of the way. It's like, no, it's actually the start of something that we should be excited about. And so part of that story was when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Verse 17, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered. Turn to the person next to you and say, pondered. When was the last time you pondered something?
Every day.
Every day. When was the last time you used that word, pondered? Not every day. No, I didn't think so. But I just like the way it just is something about that. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. I liked that. And what struck me as I was reading it in our carol service, this is what was going off in my brain as I was trying to talk, is that the shepherds went out and they spread the word. They spread the word. So there's that outward expression, and we have that mandate as we're about to hear. Just as there's a great commandment, there is a great commission. Why do we exist as Christians? Why do we exist as a church? For one of those key, important, vital reasons we're going to find out about and hopefully be reminded of and encouraged and challenged about this morning, part of that is spreading the word. The shepherds went out and spread the word. So there's going to be those times when we are called to and have the responsibility in action and in word to spread the word. And yet there is another time when Mary here, we're told, is she pondered these things and she treasured these things in her heart. So there's going to be those personal moments this year. There's going to be those special things that God has just for you that we are called to think about and treasure and hold on to, and that God is wanting to be intimately personal with you about the stuff that you're facing. And we know that once Christ grew up, he lived, he taught, he was sacrificed and rose again. He spoke some vital words that still to this very day echo down through the corridors of time and glare us so obviously right in the face that we cannot, unless we choose to, ignore it. And that we are still encouraged and we are still challenged to spread the word. Turn the person next to you and say, spread the word. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to read a passage which I am pretty sure 85% of the people in the room would have read or heard before. Are we ready? Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Thank you. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." We call that the Great Commission. And I was just thinking about just that last little bit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. So I guess it should make sense that we should be obeying what he commanded us so we can teach others to obey it. It's a bit like, you know, the personal trainer that's not exactly in great condition. Do as I say, not as I do. But anyway, so we need to be people who are doers, not just sayers of the word. But who's ever heard a message on this passage before, the Great Commission? Who is that? No, put your hand up. This is, you're allowed to participate. You've ever heard a message on this, what is titled the Great Commission? All right, so there's quite a number of learned, knowledgeable people in this room. You've all heard messages and sermons on this. So it's like, I guess I don't need to say too much this morning. Pretty happy about that by the sounds of it, but yeah. But there are just a couple of things that I want to actually glean out of it, because if we're called, we've got the Great Commandment and we've got the Great Commission, are our lives reflecting those things? And is my life reflecting this? I've been asking myself lately, am I really loving the Lord my God with all my heart, my soul, my strength? Am I loving my neighbor as myself? Am I actually making disciples with my life? In what I'm doing, my relationships, am I actually participating and being obedient to that? So as I preach out of this morning, I'm actually preaching probably more to myself. I probably wish I had a mirror more than anything else in this room this morning, because I think this message is for me as much as for anybody else. But dictionary.com states, if we title this the Great Commission, what is a commission? What is the Great Commission? The definition, it says, is an authoritative order, charge, or direction. Secondly, authority granted for a particular action or function, or a document granting such authority. That's what a commission is. And we're talking about the Great Commission that Jesus gave us. So if we look at the first one, an authoritative order, charge, or direction, who gives this command to us? If we think about, where does this command to us come from? Well, it comes from Jesus himself. We just read that these were his words. So Jesus himself gives us, and the second one is the authority granted for a particular action or function. Jesus says in this statement that all authority has been given to him on heaven and on earth. He's the one giving it, so I guess he's in a place where he can give this commission and directive and command and charge, if you like. And finally, the written document granting such authority, we have that. So we need to remember who is issuing this command, by which authority he is issuing this command, and we've got written proof to verify, so we can't forget, because we're all good at forgetting, intentionally forgetting. But I mean, I love this about Jesus being the authority, but one of the things as I was preparing this, if I can go off on a tangent just for a second, is that in Ephesians chapter 2, and this is such a powerful passage for us to get our heads around, is that Jesus is we're told, is seated at the right hand of the Father in the position of authority and power, where this commission came from. And Jesus says, but we have been elevated and we are seated with him in heavenly places. I think sometimes we need to be reminded of the authority that we have in Christ Jesus. Because if we start to look at the natural circumstances and think, how is this going to happen? But then we understand our position, our authority, we can actually kind of hold on to, like Chrissy was saying this morning, not just some vague hope, but with a conviction and a certainty and an assurance that with God, all things are possible. And we need to start to speak to our circumstances, not as they are, but as they will be in Jesus' name. The authority that we have over the circumstances that operate and function in and around our lives. We've got to get a revelation that you have that authority. You're not disqualified for that because you're not perfect. No one in this room is. Jesus knows that. And he says, you've got the authority. Hey, can I dare you this year? Just try it. See what happens. Just dare to believe it. Like, seriously, we aren't bursting at the seams as a church. We've got to start to maybe think about and doing things differently. And you're going to see that this year. We're praying and we're believing and trusting that God will speak to us about what we are to do. We're not just going to try random weird things. They're going to be prayerfully and thoughtfully considered. But we want to do things differently. Because there's a bunch of my friends and mates that don't know Jesus yet. And the way we've been doing things obviously hasn't been working. It's not God's fault. God's more committed to them than what we are. It's about us just being willing to be obedient and open and learning and growing. So Jesus, who is the authority, gives us this command. But who is he giving it to? I don't want to harbor on this too long, but I just think about the disciples have been hanging out with Jesus for 3 and a bit years, right? And I'm telling you right now, I can guarantee you they are not all wearing white robes with a halo and having the appearance of floating around the community. They don't walk, they just sort of float around and they sort of espouse all this godly wisdom. In terms of following out and being obedient to this command, they would have stuffed it up. They would have made mistakes. They would have said the wrong thing. And it is like, you know, they would have definitely made mistakes and they upset a lot of people because it cost them their life for spreading the word. So these guys did not have all their stuff together. These guys did not have a New Testament that they could refer to. Oh, what should I say here? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 about love. Hadn't been written yet. They didn't have a life group. They didn't have an alpha course to go and do. Didn't have a podcast or, you know, sort of some Jesus school Bible college to go to get educated about it. They just had to get out there and do it. And that's my charge this morning to us as a church. Let's just get out there and let's do it. Let's spread the word. If you don't think you're qualified enough, join the club. I don't think I'm qualified enough. You might think, oh, really? But you're supposed to be the pastor. You're supposed to know stuff. I know some stuff, but I don't know everything. I hope my daughter... I thought that was going to come from my daughters, actually, not from Ball. But can I just say, moving right along, can I just say, when it comes to the Great Commission, being obedient to this, number one, it's a command, but stating the obvious, when we align our priorities and our life in accordance to the fulfillment of this, do you think God's going to be pleased with that? Oh. Yes. Bless God and amen. What a morning. No, seriously, you're going to please the Father's heart. It's his revealed will to us. This is what he wants his church and his people to do. And so if you feel like, I don't know what I'm meant to do, it's okay, you're normal. I don't know how I'm supposed to reach my friends. It's okay, you're normal. But at least try. At least try. And I just love that when we actually start to align our priorities and our thinking and our use of resource and time and everything within our world in the fulfillment of the Great Commission, it gets heaven's attention and suddenly things start to happen and work. I can guarantee if you put the wheels in motion in fulfilling the Great Commission and you just start to try, you'd be amazed at what God starts to open up and provide and starts to happen because you're actually stepping into God's will. If you don't know what God's plan for your life is, spread the word. I'm telling you what God's plan is for your life, spread the word. And I don't know when you read this, I looked really hard, took my glasses off, I looked for the fine print to look for the exclusions. There aren't any. There's no fine print there in the little bits anywhere, in any definition of the Bible to say that, oh, guess what, if you're only been a Christian for 2 weeks, you're exempted. Or if you've been a Christian for 25 years, you no longer have to do it. Oh, it's only the pastor's job to do this stuff. Or, hey, it's only those people that have been to Jesus school that can do it. There's none of that in there. Guess what? This is for all of us. If you don't like this, take it up with him. This is his commandment. You know, one of the greatest victories and accomplishment we can ever have here on earth is to lead someone to Christ. You know, I don't know if you've ever had the privilege of seeing one of your friends and, you know, whether you've sort of like seen that happen quickly or there's been people in our lives that we've just been hanging out with and doing life with for 15 years and they come to Jesus, regardless of the time frame. When, I don't know about you, but for me, when somebody comes and gives their heart to Jesus and you see them come alive in Christ and life starts to finally make sense for them, you can see it. Jesus is everything you're looking for. If you just let Jesus in, things would start to actually make sense. And when that happens, it's kind of like there's tears, there's snot. It's just like, man, there is no greater joy than to see. And if you haven't had that joy, make 2017 your year to experience that joy of tears and snot. And there'll be lots of tears and snot from me with you. We can blow our noses together in just celebration. You know, some of the greatest lies the devil will try to get us to swallow is that soul winning isn't that important. You know, I'm really challenged by this, church, because over the recent months, and I know we've come out of a season of strategic planning and getting things structured and ordered. I get that. But as a church, we're not seeing consistently souls saved. We're not seeing people consistently getting water baptized. We're not seeing the Alpha courses running as much as I believe we should, because we're in a community with literally hundreds of thousands of people within this city, at least, that don't know Jesus yet. There's a lot for us to do. And so I'm very conscious and aware. And sometimes we can actually fall and lull into that place of self-comfort and security and kind of prioritizing things incorrectly. And we can start to think, well, soul winning's not that important. Or some of the lies are, you're not quite Christian enough to do that. You got to work through your stuff before you can share. You know what? Love this idea. If you read one chapter of the Bible and you talk to somebody that doesn't know Jesus, you actually know more than them. You're one chapter ahead. So the idea is just always make sure you stay one chapter ahead. And then you're qualified. You don't know off. Well, it's somebody else's job. If you honestly think that this morning, I'd love to sit down and have a coffee with you and have a conversation. Like, where does that come from in Scripture? It's somebody else's job. Or it's just the pastor's job. Or this is a whole nother sermon altogether around predestination and people just going, well, it doesn't matter whether I do anything or not. You know, they'll just get saved anyway. Why would Jesus command us to do it? Does he want to just play games with our lives and sit up in heaven and just go, wow, Phil is about to stuff this up big time. Watch this. He's wasting his time. Let's waste several years of Phil's life by just watching him dilly-dally around in this relationship that's going to not eventuate to anything anyway. Why would Jesus command us to do something if there wasn't purpose, intent, and reason for it? He gives us this great commission because his church, his people, are his primary means of actually reaching the world with his love and redemption power. Who will God use? God wants to use us if we're willing and if we're available. He's promised his Holy Spirit, and he's given us his Holy Spirit to give us the courage and the strength. The times when I try to talk to somebody about Jesus, I get nervous about it. I'm like, I don't know what to say. And he says, I'll give you the words to say. And it's amazing in those moments when I just step out and try to have those conversations, it's amazing what comes into this pea brain size brain of mine of like, wow, where did that come from? That's too smart for me. It must have been God. And he gives us the words if we're willing to step out and actually have a go. Now, our mission statement as a church is that we are called to our world, igniting active faith with the pure life-changing truth of Jesus. We are called to our world. We're called to the world in which you and I live in to be responsible for. Do we take that responsibility serious? It's a command. It's not an optional extra. And I think sometimes in our, and maybe it's my framework and thinking of the Christian faith, sometimes we're a little bit hesitant or cautious to put things so bluntly out there. But when I talk about Jesus giving us the Great Commission, there's no kind of avoiding the issue here. It is what it is. I wish I could water it down so we could all just go take it easy. But there's way too much at stake. Now, I love the idea of this, the Great Commission. I think of that as the co-mission. We are co-missioning with God for the fulfillment of reaching our community and our city, this nation, other nations, with the love and life of Jesus Christ. You know what? I think sometimes we put too much pressure on ourselves that I'm either going to stuff it up. What if I mess it up? Or I don't know what to do. What's going to happen if they come to church and so-and-so does something, or so-and-so says something, or, you know, what if in the worship stuff that, you know, Pastor Phil gets up and he does that thing and just does some worship stuff or starts praying funny or something like that. You know, we get all nervous about kind of like what's going to happen. I mean, I remember there's a particular lady in our church that, kind of in worship, she would go off in worship and it sounded like a fire engine siren. Ooh! Ooh! And I'm like, Jesus, please not today. I've got my friend here, please. I love the lady, but seriously, not today. You know, and I'm all nervous, thinking like it's like I'm somehow responsible for this person, you know, kind of in saving them. But it's his job, not ours. But that's why we desire the tangible presence of God. So whenever your mates, your friends, your work colleagues, whoever it might be, sort of you invite them, you take that risk and you kind of go, you know what? There's been times where I've thought, for the love of God, that was the worst church service in the history of mankind. Why the hell did they come today? Jesus, please, can you erase that from their memory and just give me another go, Jesus, please? And afterwards they just go, man, I can't explain it, but it was like that person was speaking to me. And you're like, oh, whew. Thank you, Jesus. But, you know, it's not our job. We just got to take the pressure off and just love people. And can I just ask, and I think we're good at this as a church, but, you know, if you have somebody in our church family and we invite somebody to come into and meet our church family, if you invite people into your home, hopefully you actually look after them. And you kind of love on them and make them feel welcome. And I think we're good at that. And can we continue, please, to do that? I love it when I kind of like invite people or people rock up that maybe I've talked to and they just get just this big kind of, through words and action, this big warm embrace, and they just go, well, that place is just like really friendly, Phil. It's like, man, that's kind of really cool. And, you know, can we continue to do that? And so when people step out and maybe invite somebody, and is it all about getting them to church? No, but I believe it's part of it. It can be part of somebody's journey to faith. But as we gather together, that we would actually just continue just to allow God to do what only He can do, and we just love people. On the screen, you're going to see some ways that we can actually just love people. You can read. There should be hopefully there is. No? It's not working? Okay, we'll move on. Oh, there you go. Okay, you guys can read, so I don't need to go through this. But just in closing this morning, when it comes to, because as I've noticed, 85% of people in the room have heard a sermon about the Great Commission, so it's nothing new, but are we actually living it out? Can I just ask, what have we got to lose? What have we seriously got to lose by sharing our faith? Is it popularity? Can I just be honest, for Nat and I, as our girls were going through primary school, we know we didn't get invited to certain events and functions that the others ran because I just don't think Phil and Nat are going to be into what's going to happen. And when we found out what happened, we were kind of glad we weren't there. But that hurts. You know, you want to get connected and you think you've got relationship and you feel somewhat kind of ostracized and whatever, because I thought I was a pretty cool guy. I thought, of course you want to have me at your party or your thing. Bring some fun to that. I wasn't flipping the bird, I was just like, whatever, all right? Don't read between the lines, it's whatever. But like, what have we got to lose? And it's like a bit of popularity or a bit of push to the side or whatever. But let me ask you this question, what have they got to gain? What do they have to gain? Just a little thing called eternity. I love this. I heard when I was in Jesus School in Bible College, a story about a missionary who started out by saying they wanted to change the world, and they went to a particular country, and after a few years, it was like, God, you know, I just wanted to see this nation changed for you. And after another 5 years, God, I just want to see this city, this village changed for you, Lord. And I just want to see, God, after another 5 years, like, God, I just want to see you change our church. Just change our church. And then finally, about another 5 years later, just sat and said, God, I just want you to change me. And I didn't understand it at the time because I was like, you know, 17, just out of school, 18, just out of school and thinking, I'm going to take on the world. And then life's happened. And it's not that I don't have big dreams and a big vision, but I've just begun to realize that, God, it's got to start in me. It's like I can have all the greatest plans out there, but if there's not something real and transparent and seeable and people can hear and they can see and they can experience from me, not some old revelation of what happened 15 years ago, 20 years ago when I had this incredible encounter with God that changed my life. If that's just trying to live out of that and there's nothing fresh, there's nothing new happening in my life. And may I just ask this morning that we just don't lose the wonder in and of ourselves of who God is. It's out of the wonder and the transformational work of God's Spirit in our lives that people should be seeing in an ongoing way that continues to stir curiosity in them about what is going on in your life. So God, so if you're able to, I found this, Charles Spurgeon is one of my favorite kind of author writers for a number of different reasons, but he wrote this and it's quite confronting in this whole area about this incredible gift that we have been given for those that have their own relationship with Jesus. It is such a precious, amazing gift that we have our salvation in and of itself. And he wrote these words about what we do with that gift and what we are called to do in alignment with the Great Commission. So it's in sort of old English. So bear with me as I try to read this. But if I can ask that you just close your eyes so you can just focus on the words that Charles Spurgeon wrote. We ought not to court publicity for our virtue or notoriety for our zeal, but at the same time, it is a sin to be always seeking to hide that which God has bestowed upon us for the good of others. A Christian is not to be a village in a valley, but a city set upon a hill. He is not to be a candle under a bushel, but a candle in a candlestick, giving light to all. Retirement may be lovely in its season, and to hide oneself is doubtless modest. But listen to this. But the hiding of Christ in us can never be justified. And the keeping back of truth, which is precious to ourselves, is a sin against others and an offense against God. If you are of a nervous temperament and of retiring disposition, take care that you do not too much indulge this trembling propensity, lest you should be useless to the church. Seek in the name of him who was not ashamed of you to do some little violence to your feelings and to tell others what Christ has told you. If thou cannot speak with trumpet tongue, use the still small voice. If the pulpit must not be thy tribune, if the press may not carry on its wings thy words, yet say with Peter and John, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. By Sychar's well, talk to the Samaritan woman. If thou canst not on the mountain preach a sermon, utter the praises of Jesus in the house. If not in the temple, in the field. If not upon the exchange, in the midst of thine own household. If thou canst not in the midst of the great family of man. From the hidden springs within, let sweetly flowing rivulets of testimony flow forth, giving drink to every passerby. Hide not thy talent, trade with it, and thou shalt bring in good interest to thy Lord and Master. To speak for God will be refreshing to ourselves, cheering to the saints, useful to sinners, and honouring to the Saviour. Just as children who are unable to speak may be a frustration to their parents, Lord, unloose all those children's tongues. On the piece of paper that you have before you today, it's just an opportunity for you to consider writing down a couple of names of people that you're going to commit to praying for this year and see come into their own relationship with Jesus. So just as you sit there, if you've got some names that you can think of straight away, why don't you write them down? Then there is a list of scriptures that you can actually pray and encourage you just to invoke the power of prayer into the circumstance of seeing someone come to Christ. There's great authority in these scriptures. You have great authority. It's about appropriating that with the use and the addition of scripture. That's a powerful mix that the kingdom of darkness will certainly struggle to combat, that's for sure. And so those scriptures are there that you can insert the person's name within that with the scripture reference to it. But we'd love for you to take that and just to commit to, and even if there's another couple of people that maybe you could share those names with and be praying for each other and encourage and support. And if you don't know how to go about sharing your faith and what it means to lead someone to Christ, we'd love to have a conversation with you and actually encourage you just to explore that and ways to do that. I know we have so many gifted people in this room that are just doing this on a regular basis, and would love to be able to help you and support you and encourage you and if need be, resource you so that you can actually feel as though you are as equipped as you possibly can to reach those that don't know Jesus yet. So church, starting off this year, the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. I don't know if you can get more basic than that. I'm a pretty basic guy, in case you hadn't noticed. Sometimes we complicate things. But let's get the basics right before we kind of try to complicate things. And so are we doing the Great Commandment? Are we actually living out the Great Commission as a church? We're committed to that. Let's pray. Father, this morning, just thank you for each and every person that is here today. For those of us in this room that have experienced your saving grace, because we can only love you because you first loved us. For your grace, for your mercy in our lives, which we don't deserve. That Jesus, you took upon yourself, as we heard around communion this morning, you took upon yourself all of our sin, our shame, our sickness, so that we can come to you and receive forgiveness and right standing with you. Just as heads are bowed, no one's looking around, please. Just a moment of privacy, just between me, you and God right now. If you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, you've never given your life over to God, invited him to come forgive you all the wrongs that you've done, and we've all done them, for all have sinned and fallen short of God's perfect standard. If you've never asked God for forgiveness, you don't have right relationship with the creator of this universe, then today is your day. Is there anybody here this morning who would just say, hey, Phil, I want to start this year off just with a right relationship with God and commit to that? Is there anybody here this morning? Say, Phil, that's me. Just raise your hand. I'd love to pray with you. We're about to close the service. Is there anybody here? Just raise your hand. I'd love to pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Just as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, we're going to close the service right now. I'm just going to play a song about encouraging us not to lose the wonder of who God is. I think it's out of that wonder, like the shepherds, they had to go out and they had to spread the word. And maybe if you've lost the wonder, kind of this morning you'd be reminded of that wonder and that how amazing God is and all that he has done for you. And you'd be challenged this morning to go out this week and to be intentional about spreading the word in accordance to his great commission. So Father, just pray your blessing over those that are here this morning, those that have to go right now. Father, just pray your blessing over them. I just ask, Father, that you would grant them a great week. Father, this morning, just pray that as we just maybe spend a few moments waiting on you this morning, and just, Father, just being challenged, but asking for your help and strength to reach those in our lives that maybe don't know you yet. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're about to do in this room. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.